Well, good evening. It's nice to be with you again. Can we turn to one of the clean passages in our Bibles, please? The first book of Chronicles in chapter 4. Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9. And Jabez was more honourable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Be sure that God will bless, as always, our reading of and our meditation on his powerful word. Let me just say one or two words about the books of Kings and Chronicles by way of introduction. At first glance, when we read First Chronicles, it appears to repeat the history that we've read in 1 and 2 Samuel. And in 2 Chronicles, we appear to be having a repeat history of the books of Kings. Chronicles was probably one of the last books to be written in the Old Testament. It would seem that it was written after the period of captivity and after the people of God had, the remnants had returned again to Jerusalem. In the books of the Kings, the emphasis there is historical. But when we come to the Chronicles, the emphasis is spiritual. Chronicles concentrates on Judah, the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, and on David's royal line, and on the priesthood and temple worship. In the Chronicles, we have a number of the historical things that we read of in Kings omitted. But also, Chronicles provides us information of a spiritual nature that we don't see in the Kings. For that reason, you don't read about Jabez in the Kings at all. This is the only reference in our Bibles to him. And this is typical of what we see from time to time in Chronicles. There is inserted in the historical account something of deep spiritual nature. Very similar to what John's Gospel is in the New Testament. You will know that the synoptic writers, those who see things the same way, that's what the word means, who have the same mind on the thing, Matthew, Mark and Luke, present very much a historical account of the birth and life and death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But John was written much later. And John just selects some of the historical events that we read of in the Synoptic Gospels with a purpose in view, with a spiritual purpose in view, that we might believe that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God, and that believing we might have life through his name. And so that would be the difference in Chronicles, that we have a spiritual aspect, if you like, introduced that we don't have in the Kings. For that reason, we've read this evening just these two verses that concern this man Jabez. And I've entitled my message this evening, "How to Stand Out from the Crowd." Because we've read of this man that he was more honourable than his brethren. And because this man stood out from the crowd, the Holy Spirit has seen fit to write these two verses, or to inspire the writing of these two verses, that we might learn some of the lessons regarding this one man about whom we know so little in our Bibles. Now, we live today in a day of low expectations. People talk about it being a day of small things, although, of course, they take that totally out of context, and that is not what it means if you turn to Zechariah. We say that we're in the last days, which is undoubtedly true. And we hear that things will just get worse and worse. We live in a day of mediocre Christianity. We are presented with a confusing array of packaged Christianity. And we see Christians around us in denominations who seem to live a much more carefree lifestyle than we do. And no doubt are seeing the blessing of God in their activities and in their service for God. And many of us are aware, if we're honest before God, that we've never really experienced the blessings and the joy that there should be in our Christian living as portrayed in the Word of God. Well, this has often been the case in our Bibles. We have that sort of cliched expression that we live in dark and difficult days. But they're no more difficult and dark than they were in the days of Jabez, or in the days of most of these worthies in our Bibles who stood out from the crowd and who pleased God and who worked for God as they were usable in his service. And so we read in this chapter of the days of Jabez. We see that he is of the tribe of Judah. And it's quite difficult as you run down this genealogy here to see where Jabez fits in. And we're not really told. But I'm going to suggest to you that he fits in the days of Joshua and Caleb, in those early days, as the people of God entered into the land of their inheritance. He was one of the children who saw his parents, or perhaps if he was a little further down the line, his grandparents, perish in the wilderness in unbelief. The days that he looked back on were days that were largely marked by unbelief. God redeemed Israel from Egypt in an amazing way. We know the story well, don't we? And they came from the slavery and the pain and the bondage of Egypt, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, separated by the Red Sea, and God brought them into or to the borders of the land of their inheritance. All the people of God were guided by the pillar and the cloud. They had all passed through the Red Sea. According to 1 Corinthians 10, they all ate and drank the same spiritual food and drink. God provided for them in a miraculous day by day, through their wilderness journey. But God was not pleased with them. Within days of them leaving Egypt, we find that they were murmuring. And you can write the word murmuring across the people of God throughout their pilgrimage in the wilderness, really. You see that word occurring again and again. They did more than murmur. They rebelled against God. They rebelled against Moses, and through Moses, they rebelled against God. They blamed Moses and God for the problems that arose. They indulged in unbelief. And Numbers 14 tells us that 10 times they tempted the Lord there in the wilderness. And so God destroyed a whole generation. They arrived at Kadesh Barnea on the borders of the land and would not enter because of unbelief. And so God said that they would die in the wilderness. According to Deuteronomy chapter 2, there were 603,550 men of war, apart from the women and the children, who perished in the wilderness. And that was never God's purpose for his people. We've said that at Kadesh Barnea, God's people were marked by unbelief. Think with me for a few moments of what happened there. What do you say? They sent in the spies. Yes, they did. But that is a mark of their unbelief. God promised them the land. And God did not expect them to send in spies to decide for themselves whether the thing would work or not. And so listen to the words of Deuteronomy 1, verse 21, as God says to them, "Go up and possess it, the land. Fear not, neither be discouraged." And he says, "We will send men before us, and they shall send out, search out the land." That was the mark of their unbelief. God said to them, "Go up and possess it. The land is yours. There are nations there, but they will fall before you. The battle is won. Go up and possess it." But they said, "We'll send men before us and search out the land." Well, you know this story as well as me. The spies came back. And you know that the majority, 10 of them, brought back an evil report. And what they said was this: "We be not able to go up against this people." And then you see the exaggeration of unbelief, because they said, "The cities are great and walled up to heaven." You see, their unbelief exaggerated the situation. And they saw that the land was populated with giants. And they saw that they would never be able to lay siege to or destroy the cities because their walls went up to heaven. The exaggeration of unbelief. And what was the result? The response to this report is that the people said, "Our brethren have discouraged our hearts." It's a sad thing when we discourage one another, brethren. We need to encourage one another. And that's what I trust we'll do this evening as we consider this lovely character, Jabez. But here we see that in unbelief, they discouraged the people of God. They said, "Our brethren have discouraged our heart." And they said to Moses, "We be not able to go up against the people." Relying on their own strength and reasoning things out without God, they decided that it was an impossible task. God said this: "In this thing, you did not believe in the Lord your God." Unbelief. The result of this was that they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. 40 years for the 40 days that they spent spying the land in unbelief. Hebrews tells us that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Hebrews 3 verse 19. Psalm 106 says that God sent leanness into their soul. A generation died in the wilderness. That was never God's intention, but that was what unbelief did to a whole generation of the people of God. Unbelief hinders blessing. Unbelief is not just a one-off act. Unbelief is a way of life. And you will recall with me that when the Lord Jesus, as he entered his public ministry, early on, he went back to Nazareth, and his own people, the people who knew him, they utterly rejected him. They said, "Isn't this not the carpenter's son? Do we not know his brothers and sisters who have grown up among us?" And we read this: "He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Matthew 13:58. Mark says the same as he recalls the same incident. He says he could do no mighty work and he marveled because of their unbelief. So unbelief can prevent God from blessing. It happened in the Saviour's day. And the people of Nazareth, because of their lifestyle, their culture of unbelief, they had rejected the Lord Jesus for who he was. Because of their unbelief, the Lord Jesus could not work among them. That concerns me. Because it's very easy for us today to live in an attitude and a culture of unbelief. How real is our God tonight, friends? Have we ever really proved God in our lives as individuals? Or do we just think, well, that's for missionaries? Well, that's for people of a bygone age. That's for full-time workers. God wants us to experience him and prove him. But it's all a question of faith, isn't it? We need in faith to step out and to seek to prove our God in our lives. But it's so easy for us to scale our God down by our feeble appreciation of him and to live in an attitude of unbelief. But we're going to see someone who wasn't affected by his circumstances. He stood out from the crowd. And I trust that tonight we might, as individuals, be encouraged to stand out from the crowd. To seek to prove God in our lives personally. That we might experience the personal blessing that God wants to bring to us, and that through us we might be a blessing to others. God has always had his men and women in days of unbelief. Think of Noah. Think of Enoch. Think of Caleb and Joshua, the two spies who did believe, who had the faith to go into the land, but for 40 years had to bear with their unbelieving brethren and see them all die. They were the only two who ever came into the land of their inheritance of that generation. Today God's looking for Christians like Jabez, men and women and young people who will seek to prove God. Here's a man found hiding in the least read section of one of the least read books in our Bible. A man who stood out from the crowd. So let's look at him. First thing I note about Jabez is that he had a bad start. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow," or "I bear him in pain." Just want you to look at those verses a moment, and you'll see that this word pain occurs, there is a play on the word pain. And you'll see here that the word sorrow is really pain, and we see that the word grieve towards the end of verse 10 is also the same word pain. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. You'll see also that the name Jabez means he will cause pain. So on three occasions in these two verses we have the word pain brought before us. So his mother called him, "He will cause pain." She bore him in sorrow. She bore him in pain. She proved the truth of what God's curse brought because of sin. You remember that that's what God cursed the woman with. Pain in childbearing because of the fall. Again, never God's intention, but it was brought in by sin. God has said, "In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children." This seems to have been an extremely painful birth. Perhaps like Rachel, who remember was dying in childbirth. Now she brought forth her son, she called him Benoni, and she said, meaning "son of my sorrow." Not only was she bearing him in pain, she was dying, and she was bearing him in sorrow, and she called him Benoni, "son of my sorrow." And it was the father who renamed him Benjamin, "son of the right hand. Not all of us have a good start. Maybe this bad start that Jabez had was not just that it was physically a painful and difficult birth. It may have been a difficult birth through circumstances we don't read of the father. It may be that he came from a single parent family. It may be that he only knew a mother and never knew his father. Jabez. Imagine going to school with a name like He's a Pain. Surely you would think there can be no future for a man like this with such a bad start. You see, some are like Timothy. They've been brought up and from a child have known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make us wise unto salvation. Perhaps some of us here have a mother and a grandmother that we can remember who taught us the Word of God. How wonderful that is. What a privilege that is. But Jabez didn't have a start like that. He had a bad start. And it may be tonight there are first generation Christians here. I also know how easy it is for first generation Christians to feel out of things because they don't have parents who are godly or grandparents who are godly. And my heart goes out to first generation Christians tonight. Those who, if you like, had a bad start. But you know, it makes no difference in the purposes of God. God takes us up and uses us according to our circumstances and according to our background. We see that with Saul of Tarsus when God saved him in Acts chapter 9. Here's a man, and you take the traits of Saul of Tarsus, the fanatical murderer and torturer and imprisoner of the people of God, who God saved and turned around, and all the features that we see used in opposition to Christianity are used for the glory of God. And tonight it matters not, I suggest, whether we are a first generation Christian or a 21st generation Christian. It doesn't matter. God can use us for His glory. I always think of the words of the hymn that we used to sing when I was young. There's a work for Jesus, none but you can do. You are unique tonight, my brother and sister. And your circumstances make you unique. And your personality is unique. And God wants to use you in a way that He can use no one else. And if it is that you look back to a difficult start to your Christian life, if it is that you made a shaky start, as Abraham indeed did, God can use you just as much as those who can recall a godly bringing up through generations. So Jabez had a bad start. But then we've said on several occasions that Jabez stood out from the crowd, because God says of him, and Jabez was more honourable than his brethren. I wonder if he was honoured for exploits with the tribe of Judah, perhaps under the guidance of Caleb, in possessing the land. We don't know. Was he honoured with a city that was named after him? The only other reference to Jabez in your Bible is in this same book, and chapter 2, verse 55, where we see a town or a city named Jabez. Well, whatever the reason, the most important thing is that he's honoured by God. Here we are, centuries later, reading and meditating upon the truth that God wants to bring to us about this solitary man, Jabez, because he stood out from the crowd. God has said of me, them that honour me, I will honour. That's a vital, basic, important principle that we must take to heart, especially young Christians. When you have decisions to make regarding employment, regarding a partner for life, regarding the house that you should buy, regarding what assembly you should join, always remember that God has said, then that honour me, I will honour. In a genealogy here of 500 names, one stands out. It's Jabez. And we're studying him tonight. How was he honourable? Well, he honoured God by having a large concept of God in days of unbelief. And praying for blessing. He was an ordinary man who proved God, just like the heroes of faith that we read of in Hebrews 11. We have an array of men and women who were ordinary people like you and me, who by faith proved God in their everyday life. And I would suggest tonight that as far as God is concerned, our relationship with Him is that which determines how honourable we are. But then he was a man of experience, answered prayer. God answered the prayer of Jabez, because we read this, and God granted him that which he requested. So a successful prayer life is the secret of being honourable and standing out from the crowd. Do we actually believe that God is more willing to give than we are to ask? Or is it true of us, in the words of James, that we have not because we ask not? The Lord Jesus encouraged, didn't he, disciples? He said, ask and that shall be given unto you. Again, going back to James, we spoke on this last time I was with you. He's the God that giveth to all men liberally. The word is single-mindedly, as if he had nothing else to do in the whole universe but to bestow blessing on you and on me. He gives single-mindedly. Do we believe that? Have we ever proved that? Jabez wanted to be more and to do more for God, and God granted him his request. Things started badly for Jabez, but they ended up well. All through a one-sentence prayer. So are we seeking to experience the fullest blessing of God in our hearts and lives? Are we seeking, like him, to be more and to do more for God? So let's look at the prayer of Jabez. Firstly we read, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. Jabez prayed to the God of Israel. Before God took up dealings with the nation, he revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. And when Moses asked him for a sign as he went to Pharaoh, God revealed himself as I am. It was a new revelation of God. I am that I am. As I am, God is self-sufficient. As I am, God is self-existent. As I am, God is immutable. As I am, God is self-existent. He has no origins. And he's answerable to no one. As being self-sufficient, he has no needs, and he depends on no one. As being immutable, he is unchangeable. He is the same. Jabez believed that. He believed in the God of miracles and new starts. Again, going back to James, we remember that he's the father of lights. He's the God of the galaxies. They tell us there's 100 billion stars in our galaxy. Then they tell us that there's 1,000 billion galaxies. They don't know really, they haven't a clue. And our little minds cannot begin to imagine the vastness of the universe that is controlled by the Father of Lights. But on the other hand, you will know that he numbers the hairs of our head. And he is there at the fall of every sparrow. Not a sparrow has died today, but the Father has not been there. I find that amazing. that the great God of eternity is the God of minute detail. And he's the God of Israel. He proved himself to be the God of Israel. He delivered them out from Egypt, as we've seen. He led them through the wilderness, despite their unbelief. Day by day, he provided for them. Their shoes didn't wear out. They had no disease. They had no... the wilderness. And now God had brought them into the land of their inheritance. He's the God of Israel. He has an interest in his people. They were a peculiar people unto him. And he's our God too. The God of Israel is our God. I think as I see him praying, calling on the God of Israel, I think he's doing that in a similar way that Elisha did after he had seen his master Elijah taken up into heaven, and the mantle had fallen upon him as he went back to the Jordan, and taking his master's mantle, he struck the water and he said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" He knew that God was the God of Elijah. He'd seen how he proved it. And he now wanted Elijah's God to be Elisha's God. But he hadn't got the experience in his heart to say, "Where is the Lord God of Elisha?" And so he called on the God of his master Elijah, because he had confidence in that. You see, it's possible, isn't it, for us to, as young people, to respect the fact that God is the God of our parents. Or God is the God of the elders in the assembly. Or God is the God of great servants of God who we see proving him. But is he our God? Have we ever come to that point? Well, here he's praying to the God of Israel. He's in effect saying, "I know you're the God of Israel. And I believe that you're my God." Well, it's wonderful, isn't it, to be able to come to that point where we say, "I know that you're the God of other people, but I believe that you're my God too," and to come to him in real faith, expecting that he will answer our prayers. And then Jabez prayed for prosperity. He said, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." That's a selfish prayer, isn't it? For personal blessing. Note the urgency. "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Bless me now. Bless me a lot." There's a sentence and programs. God blessed Abraham as a man that through him all the nations of the world would be blessed. You and I are blessed today because of God's blessing through Abraham. And so in blessing a man, in blessing Abraham, God has blessed us. He's the father of all them that believe. The Psalms, in Psalm 1, introduces us to the blessed man. It opens the book. It's the introduction to the book of the Psalms. And we read of the blessed man, the man that God blesses, the man that God makes happy, and that God can use. And we see there that he's separated from the world. He's saturated by the word. And he's saying, "That's good. I got that from Warren Wiersbe. That's not mine." God blesses us that we might be a blessing to others. What is blessing? Not more of what we could get for ourselves, but the unlimited blessing that only God can give us. It's the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. You will notice that Jabez didn't specify what blessing he wanted or he felt he should have. He was happy to leave that with God. He just wanted God to bless him. At the end of the Old Testament in Malachi, God says to the remnant, he says, now prove me now. And God said, if you bring the tithes, that was what was their duty. And the offerings, that was devotion. If you bring them into the storehouse, I'll pour you out a blessing that's so great you won't be able to receive it. And God is saying that to you and me tonight. He wants us to prove him. And he's waiting to pour out blessing beyond our imagination. The realization of this truth, I suggest, would transform our personal lives. It would transform our service for God, and it would certainly transform our prayer meetings. I would suggest that instead of in the prayer meeting praying for all the activities of the assembly and, you know, God bless the Sunday school and the kids club and the Bible class and the old folks meeting and this, if we pray God bless us and use us, all the other would happen. But if we're just praying for all our activities and we're ignoring our own personal relationship with God, we're catching up things around the perimeter and we're not getting to the heart of the matter at all. And how different our prayer meetings would be, perhaps, if we got down before the Lord and said, Lord, we need you to bless us. And then through us, use us as a blessing to those around us. He prayed for prosperity. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. But then he prayed for possessions. And enlarge my coast or my borders. God gave Israel the land of Canaan, you know that. And all they had to do was to go in and possess it. It meant fighting, but the end was secure. The end was promised them by God. Their enemies would just fall before them. But they failed to possess it. One generation died in the wilderness. But the next generation, 2.5 tribes, decided it was better to stay the other side of Jordan, thank you very much. And the others occupied the land in varying degrees. Jabez, it would seem, had already occupied his allotted portion. But the point is, he was asking for more. Whereas those around him were happy not to actually possess everything that God had for them, he was a man who already possessed what God had given him, but in light of the circumstances around him, he was asking for more, please. We, like Israel, need to possess our possessions. Paul praises God in Ephesians, doesn't he? Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He teaches us in Ephesians to be filled with the Spirit and to be strong in the Lord. Ephesians is the judges of the New Testament. It's the sphere of warfare and of entering into our possessions. So Jabez prayed for more territory. That he might be a greater influence for the God of Israel. And that he might be involved in more, if necessary, more fighting and effort. And I suggest tonight it would be a good exercise if we could seek to move out of our comfort zone. Yes, we have inherited a spiritual possession, if you like, a spiritual inheritance. But dare we pray like Jabez, that God will enlarge our borders, our coasts. Do we want an enlarged ministry? In fact, do we have a ministry at all? You understand what we mean by ministry, don't you? There would be a difference between gift and ministry, although the two go hand in hand. Every one of us sitting in this room tonight, if we are truly saved, have a gift. The Holy Spirit has placed that within us. I wonder how many of us here this evening are exercising that gift, and our ministry, the exercise of that gift, is evident to all around us. God wants each of us to have a ministry. It may be that a third of us in this room are evangelists. But how do we exercise that ministry? It may be that there are preachers here, but it may also be there are personal workers here. It may be there are Sunday school teachers. It may be those who have a different ministries all under the umbrella of evangelism. And so they could go on in pastoral work, in teaching of the Word of God. And so we need perhaps to look at our own ministry. And how easy it is, and I speak as someone who is getting on in years now, how easy it is to settle down into a comfortable type of service for God, something that we've perhaps done for years and to feel that that's enough. Well, here was a man who says, God, I want you to enlarge my ministry, to enlarge my inheritance, to enlarge my borders. Wouldn't it be great if, as a result of our meditation on this lovely man tonight, we went home and got down before the Lord and asked the Lord to enlarge our ministry. And if we've never engaged in ministry, perhaps to just commence doing something for God. As assemblies, do we have a plan? Has been said, if we fail to plan, we plan to fail. Dare we, as an assembly, ask God for 10 souls next year? He's the God who's willing that all men should be saved. Dare we ask God to expand our borders? And dare we seek to prove God in the coming year that's nearly upon us? Do we pray specific prayers? Perhaps we don't see answers to our prayers because we don't really pray specific prayers. They are so general that we wouldn't know how and when and if God answered them. Pray for a miracle. Pray for an expanded territory. Pray for an enlarged coast. Pray for God to order our circumstances and the circumstances of those around us that we might know that He is God and He is able to do these things. Let's seek to move back the boundary lines and enlarge our coast. But then Jabez prayed for power. He says, and that my hand might be with me. It's lovely to read in our Bibles of the occasions when the hand of the Lord is upon a person or upon his ministry or her ministry as he seeks to bless them. You'll see, I think it's some 6 times in Ezra that the hand of the Lord was on him to bless him. Nehemiah, you'll see it twice. And I think of those Christians at Antioch in Acts chapter 11. We read that having witnessed on an individual basis and preached in a public capacity, that the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. It's the hand of the Lord that brings blessing. It's the hand of the Lord that makes the difference to our service for Him. And so, not only do we need to pray, I suggest, that God will bless us, but we need to pray for power in our ministry for Him. Elijah would teach us that power in public as a result of prayer in private. As he burst onto the scene and appeared in Ahab's palace, he said, I'm the one who's been standing in the presence of God. And this is what I have to say to you. It was in the power of private prayer. And we know from James that he'd been praying privately because the drought was already happening. It had been happening for 6 months before he stood before Ahab. And if we seek to have power in our ministry, we must be engaged in prayer in private. And you young men who go out and do some preaching, don't prioritise on the dotting of your I's and the crossing of your T's. Pray for power in your preaching. And all of us, as we seek to witness to those with whom we mix and mingle day by day, pray for power, that God will put His hand upon what we say and what we do, because unless the hand of the Lord is on us, it's all vain, brethren. They labour in vain, to build the house if he's not with us? And so he prayed for power. And he prayed for protection. And that thou wouldest keep me from evil. Not keep me through evil, keep me from evil. The Christian who is praying like Jabez for personal blessing, for expanded ministry, and for the power of God to be upon his or her ministry is the one who is going to be attacked by Satan. Satan is quite content for Christians to be inactive. It's those who are out there on the battlefield and engaged in activity that Satan will be interested in combating. So if you go away tonight, you decide that you're going to prove God in a way you haven't done, and you're going to pray Jabez's prayer that God will bless you and enlarge your borders, and that his hand in blessing might be upon you, be sure of this thing: you're going to be the subject of the attack of Satan this next week. Don't be surprised with that, particularly young Christians, that whenever you take a step for God, you will come across difficulty that Satan will bring in your way. And so he prayed for protection, that thou wouldest keep me from evil. The Lord Jesus taught us to pray that in Matthew 6. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The Lord prayed in John 17, I pray that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. Consider tonight how many great men and women have fallen along the Christian pathway. We need to guard our lifestyles. We need to confess our sins. We need to pray for protection from evil. Then finally, he prayed for peace, that it might not grieve me or pain me. The play on the words on Jabez, we said that before. He was born in pain. His name means pain. And here we see he's asking that he might not experience pain in his spiritual life. We might paraphrase this expression, let me not experience the grief which my name implies and which my sins might well produce. Someone has said that sin is the only thing that will rob a child of God from his joy in the Lord. And so Jabez was praying here for a holy, a sanctified life. And despite our propensity to sin, which causes us pain, God desires that we should experience fullness of joy. That's why he said in John 16, ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Jabez reached a height that few of his brethren even understood. He was more honourable than his brethren, because he prayed and God granted him his request. May we tonight, brethren and sisters, be encouraged by Jabez to prove God as we've never proved him before, and to pray the prayer of Jabez, oh that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight.